Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Josh Peek, and today is episode 256. It is September the 2nd of 2020. Welcome, everybody. How are you doing? I actually got some really good rest. I know in the last podcast, I was a bit sleepy. I was a bit groggy. I was trying to pack a lot into a little bit of time and just didn't have the energy. And I feel bad about it. I feel bad that I put out a podcast where I was just, I looked at myself and I was like, God, man, you look sleepy. I do look at myself. I use a Zoom meeting to do my own podcast. It's sort of a new thing I've been trying. I do move this over to GarageBand in order to promote it. It does help me move it into an MP3 file. And I know right now there's people that don't care about that, but there's some audio nerds out there that are like, I want to know how to do this. So anyway, I pay for the Zoom, which is great because then I can meet with my friends and different people from all over. Again, if you guys want to be on the podcast, let me know. I can do it. You can do it from your house. You just get on your laptop and then you just use the actual camera that's on your laptop, or you buy one of those webcam thingies. Either one's fine. But then we can Zoom and we can have a podcast and you can be there in your underwear if you want to. Be aware that there is a video element. So maybe wear a top. but anyway, when I record and we're done and I say the ending, you know, cue the cow, blah, blah, blah. There is a element where once it's saved, I have to open GarageBand and I have to drag the audio files over and then save it and convert it into an MP3 file. I think when it saves it as something called an ACC. I don't know what that is. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. That's how I do it. Okay? And it also has a video component. The video component I have to load into iMovie. And then I put my little ending at the end with my niece saying, give me more likes, because I think that's adorable and I love her. And I do want more likes. and then I load that onto YouTube. Yeah. So a lot's been going on with YouTube. They're trying more and more to create content and to be their own platform, kind of like Netflix, kind of like Amazon, and there's no reason they couldn't be. I mean, Google's got the money. Google owns YouTube. Google's, you know, they can fund their own project like that, and they can do it. They are doing it. I think part of the situation they have, though, is they're competing with a market that's kind of already up and running, and you have to spend some big dollars in order to replace it. Now, one of their advantages is their YouTube platform being that people make content all the time and load it. And I got into a big discussion yesterday with a guy where we talked about the First Amendment and the freedom of speech and what it means to own a platform like YouTube and how you sort of have to regulate it. To where you can't necessarily allow everybody to do everything they want on YouTube. I mean, obviously, I use some really strange examples, but we're both riding in a truck and we both are wearing an orange shirt. And I said, you know, let's just say hypothetically, you come up with your own streaming service and you tell people all the time, hey, if you want to load content, you can load anything you want in here. And then one day somebody gets on there and they said, you know, I really don't like people with orange shirts and we should separate ourselves from them and they're the bad guys and blah, 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 blah. Well, that turns into what they call hate speech. And then, you know, when you get into that kind of thing, then it's damaging. And if you own the platform, you feel responsible. I think at one time there was terrorist videos that were popping up on YouTube where they were actually showing people being beheaded. That's awful. I mean, you don't want that. I think the Netflix show Don't F with Cats highlighted some video some kid made where he was being cruel to a cat. And these moms all got together and they're like, hey, this is like the kind of thing you hear about when you hear about a serial killer or a psychopath. they typically follow a pattern of hurting animals, and then they end up hurting people. And they ended up finding the kid and stopping something big from happening to somebody. So, you know, again, you have a platform and you kind of want to regulate it. Now, I've been frustrated with YouTube because I've been getting flagged on things, and they've been sending me, you know, notices saying that they're not going to monetize my videos for this direct, for this purpose or that purpose. And it's come down to things like when the coronavirus was kicking off, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to talk about what common people were thinking, what the rumors were, what the thoughts were, and kind of just have it as a discussion. Like, it's different if you put out a proclamation and you say, hey, you know, it's no big deal, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's one thing if it comes from just your neighbor or some guy you meet at the store or whatever. It's another thing when you have on a health expert that comes on and says, hey, this is what we've learned so far. And you have to say things like, learned so far, or this is what we think is happening. This is what we, from what we know, this is our projected idea of how to handle this. And I think that for the most part, the healthcare professionals have done that. Now, is that saying that it's been done everywhere that way? No, it's not. But I've had on healthcare experts, my mom and one of my best friends. You know, this is sort of their arena of their profession. And especially my buddy Greg, who works in infectious disease in Albany, Georgia, where they had one of the largest outbreaks in America. And it suddenly became something he had to be very proficient at, which means he had to take in a lot of information. And every day was a new learning thing because it was so new, the way the virus reacted, the way it was transferred, the way they couldn't really track it. It was difficult to understand. And so he was the guy that I would look to the most. Well, during that time of getting information and him, you know, trying to relay as much as he knew, YouTube was sending me stuff saying, we're going to demonetize your videos because this is not content that we want on our platform. And I'm like, hey, wait a second. I would think this would be exactly the content you want on your platform, because there's plenty of people out there trying to figure out what's happening and what's going on, and how to look at it and how to participate and how to plan and protect ourselves and all that stuff. But they were kind of crappy about it. And I was like, okay, well, mental note to self, stop talking about coronavirus. But you find yourself censoring yourself, okay? Me in particular. I was in the Marine Corps. I, for a long time, had really bad language, a lot of curse words. I started working at a Budweiser facility here in Florence. That language just continued to escalate, and it was sort of talked about as, hey, you know, about calm that down. And I did, but it still continued because it was still kind of locker room talk, I guess you'd say, amongst the guys when they talked to each other. Some of it was done for humor. Some of it was done because we're idiots. And I can say that now, being, you know, a good, I don't know, maybe 20 years removed from the situation. I was younger and I was stupid. And I've tried to get better. I've tried to change my dialect. I've tried to be thoughtful of the fact that here I am in 2020 and I have a 4-year-old grandson who, let's face it, is going to listen to this one day, possibly. And it would be great if I wasn't on there saying a bunch of stuff that is going to be repeated by him. You understand what I'm saying? It's the language. It's the choice of language. I could choose different words. It's just the thought pattern to try to. And that's difficult at times because through excitement, through anger, through frustration, through joy, it comes out. And I'm sure you guys have heard me say it. It's nothing to say that I'm trying to be crass or I'm trying to be rude, even though sometimes I am, for comedic effect or for inflection purposes. But it's one of those things where if you try to practice an economy of words, sometimes when you do use it, it's more impactful. For example, okay, let's say you drank Coca-Cola every day. Love Coca-Cola. And if you drank it every day, you'd be like, I'm having a Coke. Every day, you'd be having a Coke. The next time you have a Coke, you wouldn't really care. You'd just be having a Coke because you always have a Coke. Now, what if you only had a Coke maybe twice a year? And you were like, that's good Coke. I like Coke. But what if I regulate myself and only enjoy Coke, I don't know, a couple times a year? That'd be a really good Coke, right? So what if I do that with the F word? What if I treat the F word the same way? What if I hold it back and only use it when I really want to? It'd be more joyful for me. I mean, other people might be offended, but maybe it's the same kind of mentality. Maybe that's the same kind of thing that, makes an impact in good and positive way, you know, hopefully good and positive ways, but maybe negative ways. I don't know. But maybe the economy of it has more of an effect. That's very possible, right? So anywho, I'm trying to do better. We're all trying to do better, right? This YouTube restrictions that has been going on, I think is part of the reason that, you know, Rogan is leaving YouTube and going to Spotify. That plus the $100 million check. I mean, let's face it, it'd be pretty awesome to just have somebody go, hey, there's $100 million to go. Okay. But part of the deal in moving over was he told them, I don't want notes. I don't want you guys regulating me, telling me I can't talk about this and I can't talk about that. I want full reign. I want to be able to do what I do and you guys not tell me no, because I'm not trying to hurt anybody. This is all for entertainment purposes. I'm a comedian. I'm a podcaster. I'm having on friends. I'm having on scientists. I'm having on whoever. And we're going to have a long conversation that brings in listeners that you guys apparently want for advertising dollars. So you guys let me do what I do and leave me alone and I'll agree to it. And Spotify wanted that so bad. They were like, okay. Now it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out over the course of time. Are they going to continue to let him do what he wants to do? The first podcast was supposed to be September 1st. Now, I was tracking this on my Spotify app on my phone, and I was looking at, okay, today is September 1st. Where's the podcast? He had posted on social media that he did a 5.5-hour podcast with Duncan Trussell. Now, Duncan Trussell is one of his longtime buddies and is a comedian, has his own podcast called Duncan Trussell Family Hour. He has a love of psychedelics and mind-altering drugs. When he talks, he sounds like one of those hippie dudes that's into conspiracy theories and hey man kind of talk. Duncan's been the guy that Joe's gone to on all the weird podcasts that, you know, hey, let's do episode 666 together. And Duncan never is different. He's always the same. Now, he is a little different now in the fact that he's a dad and he's married and he's trying to take care of himself. He did, I think, episode 1313 in a full ghillie suit the whole time with the respirator and on and everything, and it sounded really weird. And Joe was in a full astronaut suit, and they got really, really high. I don't think there was a single time during the podcast there wasn't smoke lingering in the air, and they did, I want to say, a 3.5-hour podcast then. But I'm looking forward to this 5.5-hour podcast. I know that's a commitment of time, but to me, it's just as entertaining as watching something on TV. More so sometimes, because they get into some things that inspire me, that spur creativity, that nudge at the thing in my brain that wants to talk about aliens and ghosts and the possibilities of time travel and interdimensional travel and, you know, all of the things that are just on the fringe of understanding, but we all have a fascination with. You know, there are a lot of people that they only want to touch things that are tangible, and that's as far as they want to believe. This remote, I can touch it. It's real. That's real. This other stuff, not real. I can't touch it. Okay. There's that mentality. Then there's people out there that believe in a version of the Bible, and they think that the world is only 10,000 years old and that dinosaurs are fake, and that is a big conspiracy theory to distract people from the truth, man. Okay, there's those people too. There's people out there to believe that the earth is flat. What? In 2020, when we have the most technology and the most information and the most ability to look at and observe our known universe, and there's people that think that the earth is flat. All right. How about that? So that reminds me of a statement of Albert Einstein. He said, two things are infinite: the universe and human stupidity. And I'm not so sure about the universe. There's a lot of truth to that. So, anywho, let's switch gears, okay? I can hear a lot going on in my kitchen. I don't know what's going on. I wish I had some kind of soundproofing so I wouldn't hear pots and pans and ice makers and all kinds of other stuff going on there. But I don't have a studio. I don't have $100 million. I don't have a podcast set up that's different. I mean, I'm literally in the next room. So it is what it is. I did get to watch a show on Netflix called The Rain. I want to say that it was a German show that has, you know, been dubbed with English voices. There's three seasons on there. I didn't realize it was three seasons. I had watched season one a while back whenever it came out, and it was pretty interesting. Basically, this rain falls down, and when it touches people, it either kills them or turns them into some kind of zombie-type thing that dies shortly thereafter. It also kills off a lot of plant life, and there's something mystical about this rain. The story follows this dad who's a scientist and his daughter who's a little bit, you know, maybe she's, I don't know, 9 or 10 in the show, and a young boy who's maybe 5 in the show. And they lock themselves in a bunker when this rain falls and kills the mother. And the dad quickly does the math and sees what's going on and locks them in this bunker where all this scientific stuff is in, that he can do testing and he can, you know, I guess survive in there because they have provisions. And it's like the dad knew this was coming and was preparing for it. And he would go out in full gear and say, I'm going to go look for any signs of life, or I'm going to look for a cure. And if I'm gone, I need you to protect your brother because your brother is a secret to everything. He kept saying that. Your brother is the secret to everything. You got to protect your brother. He's going to save the world. And the whole time she's like, what? You know, he's just a little kid. And one of the days in the beginning, the dad goes out and doesn't come back. And it's up to the young girl to then raise her brother in this bunker. And they have systems in place to kind of maintain and to take care of themselves. And they have food and they have, you know, air ventilation things that are supposed to protect them and ways to get water, until they don't. At a certain point, it runs out. And they have to make a hard decision to leave. And when they go to leave, they're immediately met by people. And they haven't seen people in a very long time. The young boy really has no knowledge of the world. I mean, he's been in this bunker. I want to say they stay in there like 6 years. And when they come out, he's a teenager. He's pretty tall, sprung up, young guy. And I may be totally off on the ages. I just made a guess this morning. But they come out and like they immediately have to be confronted by people who are, number one, paranoid, suspicious, and want answers, and they want resources. And so they're met with hostility. They're met with a lot of questions. They don't know what's going on. And the rain's still falling every now and then, and they have to protect themselves and get out of the rain, because if you're not, you're dead. And the show goes on like this for a while. It reminded me a lot of The Walking Dead, except for the rain element of you never know when this precipitation is going to hit you or where it's going to come from. It could be on the roof of a place and then a drop hits you. I mean, just think about how terrifying that would be. How unpredictable it would be. So, 3 seasons now. Come to find out, the boy has something in him that is like this rain, and somehow he can be in the rain and it doesn't hurt him. And at a certain point, like, he's able to control this stuff, and it's crazy. The show is crazy. The ending is crazy. The ending, I wish there was something that would explain what happened. They never do. Like, the ending, the way it happens, you kind of get what happens. But, I mean, the special effects in it are really cool. You don't see much of the special effects in season one till the last episode. You're just getting to know the people and understand their struggle and where they're coming from. Season two is off to the races. I mean, and then season three is even more so. But it's a fantastic idea, and it's done really well. Again, whenever they dub voices, I wish they would use more people's voices that sound different. They really sound almost like the same type people doing the same voices. And I'm sure it's because they're all coming from one area. They all have one dialect. It's hard to get people with different voices. They did do a better job in this one than they did in the show Dark. There are a few ranges of people in it, because you can tell they maybe took notes from watching shows like that. I'm like, we need to have maybe a few more people do the voices. You know, they're getting better. It's just, it's not super great as far as that goes, but the show is great. The idea is great. The acting is interesting. The kid, the boy, is really impressive as an actor. Even with the science fiction element of it, I could see him bridging this over and doing something else in the future. I mean, you can tell he's got some acting chops. Cause he's probably acting with like a blue screen around him or a green screen, and he still has to perform everything he's going through. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. But yeah, I watched season one a while back, and then over the course of the last week or so, I've watched, season two and three, which were pretty short. I think they were like 8 episodes apiece, but it's pretty short. And, you know, it wasn't like I binge watched them, although I did binge a lot on Monday because I was off. But yeah, pretty good. I also watched a movie that I missed whenever it came out. The movie's called Mud. It's got Matthew McConaughey in it and Reese Witherspoon. It came out in 2012, and I'd heard people talk about it. This was just before he did Dallas Buyers Club and The Detective, the show on HBO. It's really fascinating in the aspect of it's sort of a coming of age thing with these boys kind of left to their own devices. Looks like they're on the bayou. They have access to junk and, you know, a boat and a dirt bike, and they go exploring and they find this boat that's up in a tree because of maybe it was left there after a hurricane or a storm of some kind, and they want to make it their little clubhouse. And then they find out maybe somebody's been living in it, and it turns out it's Matthew McConaughey, and he calls himself Mud. And they get to know this guy, and he tells them a lot of stories. Some of it sounds like fantasy, some of it sounds real, and they're not really sure which is which. And it's a neat story. There's a lot of actors in this that as soon as you see them, you're going to be like, wow, I can't believe they got that guy in this. Oh, they got that guy too. Oh, they got her in it. Oh, cool. I don't know their names, but as soon as you see them on screen, you're going to be like, oh, like all these actors are real familiar. Like they've all been in stuff that's current at the time. And anyway, it's a good movie. I was impressed. Even the ending was good. So Mud, check it out. It's on Netflix. I do want to talk about something I got recently. I know this is kind of changing subjects drastically, but I got into this rabbit hole with my grandson of watching YouTube videos of kids playing with toys. And I was like, why is this a thing? Why is kids playing with toys a thing? And he likes to watch this show. Is it Ryan's World? It's this little kid. All he does is play with toys. Come to find out, he makes like over $20 million a year playing with toys on the internet because kids watch it. The way they do the production value, the way they highlight this kid having fun, other kids like to watch him play with toys, which is weird to me. The strange part also is you could have your own toy in the room and you're not playing with it. You're watching him play with it. I don't get that. It's sort of like Twitch. You know, these people that watch other people play video games, they can have the video game themselves, but they prefer to watch other people play the game. Like, why? What? I mean, I get it if you like want a tutorial on how to beat the thing and you're like, okay, that's how you did it. Okay, I can do that. I mean, I get like sharing that information, but just to watch someone play, just to watch them play. I mean, unless they're like, you know, the Michael Jordan of the thing and you want to watch them dominate and you're like, oh, wow, look at them go. I mean, I get that, but just to watch random people, maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I should be doing that. I have the personality for it. I don't know what I'm doing, so it might be entertaining for somebody. Who knows? What do you think? If I did something like that, would you guys watch it? Would you even give a crap? Or would, is this not the right audience? Are you guys a different demographic? What do you think? Give me information. I'm all on board. Whatever. I can make more time, right? I have time. I say that jokingly. I don't know when. I don't know when I'd have more time. But anyway, so watching these videos and watching some of our own content of things that we like to watch, my wife enjoys watching the Tim Tracker. And during quarantine, he had nothing to do, so he bought a Lego version of an amusement park, and he did a like a slow-mo or a, what's it called? Yeah, slow-mo. Not slow-mo. Time-lapse. He did a time-lapse of him building this Lego amusement park thing. And then he, you know, it, the way he filmed it was great. Put some music in the background. It was entertaining to watch. And I'm watching it myself going, oh, crap, I'm like these kids watching Ryan's World. I'm like, I'm watching a dude play with Legos. Why am I watching a dude play with Legos? But it was satisfying. It was soothing. I was like, I mean, I get it. I had a light bulb moment. I was like, I like Legos. I like Star Wars. I'm wearing my Boba Fett shirt today. So I talked to the wife and I was like, hey, listen, what if I ordered some Legos and built some stuff on YouTube? I mean, I'm no different than these guys, right? I have an audience. I have people that would watch. Somewhere out there, there's somebody that wants to watch me build the Slave One Boba Fett Lego thing. Why not? So I did. I did it. If you guys want to watch the video, it's on YouTube. You can see me, you know, Lego, Star Wars, Slave One, Boba Fett build. And it turned out great. But during that time, there was the popularity of the show The Mandalorian on the Disney Plus app. So I did some research looking for his ship. It's called the Razor Crest, and ta-da, it came in the mail. Look at this thing. This thing is incredible. If you guys are looking at this on YouTube, this is, I'm showing it on the camera. This is his ship, the Razor Crest. It's got over 1,000 pieces, 1,023 pieces. And it was on back order because they, not back order, they hadn't even released it yet. This is like I had to pre-order this. And I felt like such a dork pre-ordering it, but I also felt kind of like a baller pre-ordering it because I was like, I can afford this? No way. but also like it's part of my content. I'm making content for you guys and I'm enjoying it. And you guys might enjoy watching me build it. Who knows? I mean, there's a whole world out there. But look, it's got characters down here. It's got baby, what they call it, the child. Everybody else calls it Baby Yoda. The Mandalorian. Greef Karga. IG-11. And a scout trooper. Because you got to have a bad guy, right? But then I flip over to the back. And it's got all kind of things where it opens up. It's got stuff in here that moves around. It's got escape pods. It's got a little sleeping chamber. It's got a little frozen carbonite dude. It's got a little thing here that shoots off projectiles, kind of thing. They got them loaded inside. How cool is that? Now, you guys may not be Star Wars fans. You may not be Lego fans. But I am. And 10-year-old me is high-fiving me right now. Just, you did it. Yes. I'm so excited to build this thing. I know a lot of people out there are like, who cares? I care. I am having fun. I'm excited. And I'm going to be building it. So, yay. I do have some stuff coming up. My wife's birthday is coming up. Labor Day is coming up. We're talking about a trip. I'm sure you guys heard us talking about that. We're trying to figure out the best way to get up to visit our buddy Josh West. And so there's a lot of things to plan on. And part of this planning is going to be building this awesome Razor Crest Lego Mandalorian ship. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. I know I've talked for a while. Again, I'm sorry for the last one where I was pretty dog tired, but I felt committed and I wanted to talk about some things. And hopefully you guys enjoyed it. And again, anytime you want to be on, let me know. We'll schedule something. We'll get on the Zoom and we'll do this. Or if you don't want your face on here, we could do Zencaster. That's just an audio streaming thing that we can do. But just let me know. And you know me, I can talk about anything. The whole point is to build community and, you know, forget what everybody else says about how different we are. Let's talk about how much we are in common and how much we can be different and still be friends. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about to me. Thank you for everybody who's listening and watching. I appreciate all of the viewership and the listenership. I'm getting close to 70,000 listens on Anchor. And my YouTube is up almost to 5,000 subscribers. I'm really close to 5,000 subscribers. It's only taken me years, but hey, it's a milestone for me. I'm pretty tickled about it. If you enjoy the show, please remember to rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends. And go check out the website, www.stuffiheard.com. I got a merch connection on there. I got a contact connection on there. I've got links to the podcasts on there. I got pictures of the guests. So just be part of the community. Let's grow this thing. Okay. Thank you, everybody. And have a great day. And as always, I end this by saying, cue the cow.